Welcome to the show, my friends. Such a good conversation today. Before we get to it, if you're suffering from hair loss, then I've got the answer for you. Go to Bosley. For everyone listening to this podcast right now, Bosley is giving away a free info kit and $250 off gift card when you text my name, CVV, to 203-203. Bosley offers the latest technology and the only permanent solution to hair loss. People all over the country trust Bosley, and Bosley is considered America's number one hair restoration practice. Bosley offers both surgical and non-surgical solutions, and the sooner you take action, the more options you'll have to keep your hair or put hair where you need it most. 2 out of 3 men will experience some degree of hair loss by the age of 35. But with today's technology, you don't have to live with hair loss. Get started today with a free info kit and $250 off gift card. Just text CVV to 203-203. That's CVV to 203-203.
And we had to do an opening for the first Talking Shop. We had to do an opening just to explain ourselves because we thought it sucked so bad. Just because we didn't know if it was going to be funny or not. And like, then by God, it was so bad, it was funny.
It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show.
Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet.
Well, here we go. Welcome back to another audio adventure on the Chris Van Vliet Show. So glad you could make it for this epic crossover between my podcast and the Talkin' Shop podcast. This episode is brought to you by Bosley, Indeed, and Bet Online. And as I sit here and record this right now, we are just one day away from the second worst pay-per-view of all time, Talkin' Shop-a-mania 2. And if you saw the first one, you know what kind of ridiculousness you're in for this one. And if you didn't know, oh man. Well, I will let Gallows and Anderson and Rocky Romero explain it here. And also, when you do order, when you do watch this thing, you'll see a very familiar face in there. Mm-hmm. At least briefly. Yeah. I had the honor. I can't believe this. I had the honor of being part of one of the matches that they filmed in Los Angeles with quite the cast of characters. I don't want to give too much away, but when you watch this, you'll see exactly what I mean. If it's your first time here, thank you for joining us. Make sure to hit subscribe at some point today so you don't miss out on any future updates, on any future podcasts. And please keep those reviews coming in. If you haven't left a review yet on Apple Podcasts, if you could take a few seconds out of your day today to do that. It can be as silly as you want. It can be as stupid, as ridiculous as you want. I'm going to read one out on every single episode. In fact, I will read the most ridiculous one out on the next episode. So you've got about a week here to get those ridiculous reviews in. So let's see it. This one comes from Herigel. I hope I'm saying that right. Herigel, who says, simply the best, expect no less. Longtime listener, found your YouTube clips and listen in on Spotify. I opened my Apple app just to leave a review. Oh my gosh. Chris is the best interviewer, hands down, wrestling or otherwise. He's engaging and can nicely steer the conversation while still letting the subject have pretty free rein. I find myself even enjoying interviewees that I've never thought I would. Nobody can do it like Chris, and that's why we love you, man. Keep it up. Wow, this is amazing. Wow, thank you. You went from Spotify to the Apple Podcast app just to leave a review? That is, you're a real one. That is very generous of you, and I thank you and commend you for your time and your effort. And we're going to keep reading one out on every single episode till we get to that goal of 2,000 reviews. Got some big guests coming up, and I've mentioned this before. I obviously do a lot of interviews with wrestlers, and I'm a huge wrestling fan. You are too. That's why you're here. But I'm also just a fan of like talking to people who are great at what they do, and I love being able to deconstruct and reverse engineer greatness. So we've got some guests coming up that might, you know, they're not wrestlers, but they're people that we can definitely learn from. So I look forward to being able to share those conversations with you. And thank you, Herigel. I hope I'm Herigel. I don't know. It's H-E-R-I-E-G-E-L. H-E-R-I-E-G-E-L. Herigel. Thank you for the kind words and saying that my interviews are good, even if they're not with wrestlers. So we've got many of those coming up. So I appreciate you. So, you know, we just had Gallows and Anderson on a few months ago. We had them on right before Talkin' Shoppa Mania 1. And, you know, none of us really knew what Talkin' Shoppa Mania was all about. But now we all know exactly what Talkin' Shoppa Mania is all about. Also, my interview with them last time is the most listened to episode of the podcast ever. So you guys obviously like them. This time we have the entire Talkin' Shop podcast crew on here. We've got Gallows and Anderson and Rocky Romero. And it's pretty amazing to see everything the Good Brothers have done since being released from WWE back in April. They are easily the most successful wrestlers slash entrepreneurs since that release with everything that they've created. Now, they'll talk about it all here, but the pay-per-view and the podcast and the alcohol, everything that they have going on here and the apparel. So it's just so amazing. And that's not including everything they have going on in Impact Wrestling. So we talk about all of that. This was hardly really an interview. This was really just us hanging out for an hour and sharing a bunch of laughs. So here you go. Please welcome Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and Rocky Romero. Wow, what a pleasure to welcome everyone back to the show again in three completely different locations here. Rocky Romero in like a very professional looking office, perhaps.
Thank you. Yes.
Then we've got Carl Anderson in a closet.
It's a big walk-in closet, but it's been a long week, boys.
And Doc Gallows is in a car. Are you sitting in a random parking lot?
Yeah, I'm here in the comfort of the Escalade in the car rider lane waiting to pick my son up from school.
He likes to just throw that. He likes to throw that little Escalade shot in there from the Talkin' Shoppa Mania 1 riches that are just...
It's not little, babe.
That he's swimming in like Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, I wish. I saw the budget for Talkin' Shoppa Mania 2 and it wasn't so good. You know, you talk about remote locations. I mean, let's talk about Chris's appearance on Talkin' Shoppa Mania 2, and let's talk about two different coasts. And I mean, we're outgrowing one location. It's like WrestleMania, what was it, 3 or 4, where they're just satellites from all over the country. That's where we're going to be next. I can't wait.
I didn't think that Talkin' Shoppa Mania could possibly get any worse. And then you guys brought me into the mix.
Yeah. Well, it's a real shit show. The problem is your segment's the best segment of the show. So
yeah, clearly. Did Vince go like all in on WrestleMania 3 where he did everything or was it 1?
I think 1 was maybe the closed circuit one, but one of them, there were like locations where they had them in different cities and you could like a match filmed in LA and a match filmed here and there. Anyway, that's the comparison I'm drawing to Talkin' Shoppa Mania.
No, but what I'm saying is, yeah, what we're trying to get is we spent all over. We spent the entire bank account. Gone. See ya.
Done.
and the red. And we went way overboard on this one.
I want to know what the original. Still I want to know what the original discussion was when you guys came up with the ridiculous idea for the first Talkin' Shoppa Mania. Where did the idea come
Gallows.
From?
Gallows. That's Gallows.
I just thought there was no reason to be bitter about where we were leaving. I thought the best way to make light of it was to spoof it and make money at it. And then it worked. And now we're starting all over again because we blew our wad on number 2.
Chris, we're in the negative right now. So we're really hoping, this is a shoot. We're in the negative right now. So we're really hoping that things turn around and we could possibly make some money off this or at least get back into the black.
We weren't in the negative until we started having fun. Well, we started thinking we were, you know, like when Major League 2, they got famous, that's what we did. We got, right. We did so well in Major League in part 1, we just went insane. But the part 1 was all Gallows. Like literally called me 5 minutes after we got canned from New York. And and I was like, I wasn't prepared to answer the call. And then he called me again about an hour later and filled me in on how he was running this pay-per-view. And he was either going to do it with us or without us. Yes.
That's right.
I was like, I don't know, you know. Then you're watching it and going, man, this thing sucks, right? Like, then we're laughing, watching it, going, I don't know if this is funny or if it's not funny. Then we even watched it back and we had to do an opening for the first Talkin' Shop. We had to do an opening just to explain ourselves because we thought it sucked so bad. Just because we didn't know if it was going to be funny or not. And like, then by God, it was so bad, it was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. And number two is our humor turned up times 10. Yeah. And I'm really hoping that people buy it because I know that Talkin' Shop LLC owes my personal LLC thousands of dollars.
he likes to throw that in there at us all the time.
Yes, I do.
Rocky, you say you guys are, you know, you're in the negative right now, but of course you are. You know, the pay-per-view hasn't come out yet. That's where you make the money, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know, man.
Guys, I'm kind of hoping this is the last one. Talking Shopomania 3, 2021 with a live audience. I'm calling it right now, an exclusive right here on the show.
You guys should do WrestleMania weekend, Talking Shopomania.
Oh, Chris, are your wheels spinning the same way mine are? My goodness gracious.
I'll only do it if Chris is the host.
Yeah.
Done, the MC.
You have demands now?
I demand you pay for me.
You want to break your budget even more? Sign me on.
And it's just like, though, with part two, though, we just went, I watched it back. I previewed it whenever I did. And about 10 minutes in, man, like I hear us on commentary and we're laughing so hard. Rocky's gleeking. You can tell he's gleeking because he's a gleeker when he starts laughing.
Well, yeah, I can tell by the spit running down my face. He was gleeking.
Yes. Gallows is screaming like in this like high pitched scream laugh that he has. And I have an ab cramp because I'm screaming, giggling. And then I start laughing, just watching. And I go, I don't know how the fuck it's funny again. I can't believe it's funny again. It's funny.
So when we started talking about how bad slash good we thought this was, how funny, how over the top it was, Rock has been telling us about all these things that we're supposed to be watching and previewing. And I've just been agreeing in our text chain, but not doing it because I get a little nervous. Like now it actually happened and it's a thing. I was very excited doing it. But now if it really sucks and it's the shits, I only ever want to see it once.
Yeah, you refuse to watch it, don't you?
Yeah, I don't watch it. I just go, oh, yeah, it was good, guys. Thanks. And then I don't watch it. This is what I do. So I'm hoping that on Friday, November the 13th at 10 p.m. on Worldwide Pay-Per-View and live via the Fight app on iPay-Per-View, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. But I don't know.
But see, Chris, that was the problem. Nobody watched it. And then I watched the first one and I watched it and went, oh my God, guys, we can't release this.
No, people loved it. People loved this.
Like,
we didn't know though, man.
We didn't know though, brother.
Yeah, we were nervous. So the first time we watched it, he said that. And then we all watched and we're like, oh shit. I don't know if we should put this out. Then we're like, why don't we do an opening and try to like, yeah, that's when we try to open it.
Why don't we do an opening and apologize to the people that we already got their $15 and try to.
But you guys threw this together like relatively quickly, and for it to look as good for as bad as it was, and I say that in the kindest way, I think you really pulled something off here.
We definitely upped the production on this one. We definitely spent, and I think that's where a lot of the money went, was just, you know, trying to make it look better than it did because the first time it looked so shitty. So like we were trying to like really, to do our, just do it justice. We'd be like, we can't just keep putting out like a terrible looking product. We actually have to like try to make this better.
Sure we can. I'll tell you this though. I'm worried about the integrity of the hashtag worst pay-per-view ever. And also hashtag worse than the first Talking Shop Mania 2, because the segments you guys shot in Los Angeles, they're the only thing I've honestly seen other than when we ran through and did some commentary stuff. And I was like, this is like movie quality and it's too good for what we do. I don't know if this is going to work for us or not, because it looked like something you would watch on like Netflix, not some shit that like obviously would come out of my backyard, which it didn't. You guys did it in Los Angeles. You had a proper crew. But if for nothing else, buy it for that. Buy it for Chico versus Chavo. The Lucha Libre death match is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And then, of course, followed up by Ball for a Ball, which, you know, we always say get a head change for Talking Shopomania, but like, you know, I'm not saying that you need to drink or do anything like that, but whatever you can do, if you need to get on an inversion table and hang upside down for 30 minutes before you watch this thing, do that, because I don't want you in the right frame of mind, because if your humor is is not as dark as the Machine Gun and I. You might be wondering what the fuck you're watching.
Not only was this a real production in Los Angeles, but I swear that Rocky blew the entire budget on that craft services table. Like there was
you so much. Son of a bitch. I
the boys weren't supposed
that.
To know about that, Chris. Stop spilling Hold beans, on. Bro.
Hold on, what?
I said peanut butter sandwiches, Rock, and McDoubles.
I went all out on craft
You had
services.
Those. Have you guys tried these salmon chips? Instead of potato chips, they're little bits of salmon skin. And Rocky blew the entire budget on these.
Keto, I was keto friendly. I wanted to make sure that it was keto friendly, vegan friendly. I wanted to make sure, you know, it's Los Angeles. You know, there's a lot of different type of, you know, characters out here. We got to make sure that everybody's eating well.
What let me tell you about lying fuck rock.
Let me tell you about outside what outside of Atlanta we exchanged sushi from Talking Shop of Mania 1 for McDonald's on Talking Shop of Mania 2 and just well, here it is. Have some. Enjoy yourself.
That's okay because remember the Boneyard match with at WrestleMania. That's all we got too, and the whole crew ate it, so we didn't even get.
Yeah, that's the truth. They had a bag of McDoubles and we didn't get one. we were getting beat up by the Undertaker for 9 hours. We didn't get one McDouble. Yeah.
The funny thing is, there was a giant bag of candy on this snack table. And you know, you're with a dozen wrestlers. None of them eat candy. So at the end of the day, the bag hadn't even opened up yet.
Dude, right, that's Rock. So funny because I've been eating that bag since. Like I've been just dipping into that bag every
I would have grabbed that shit on my way out of there knowing that the craft services that Rock provided for everyone was top notch.
I mean the Chavo versus Chico match has got it's like what we were thinking of. What my first idea was I kind of threw this out there, right? Do I get a little credit for this one finally?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. But you took it to the whole different level. I was thinking more like that Monty Python style where the guy gets his arm cut off and he keeps fighting. Right. And we can make it funny like that. But then Rock goes out there and well, he obviously gives you guys thousands of dollars of catering and doesn't discuss that much.
Millions.
The funny thing is I haven't even disclosed to you the final, how much... Talking Shop, the LA location, how much that really cost.
Well, at this point, what does it matter?
Right? Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's,
yeah. Yeah. We're declaring bankruptcy anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, we're all in, brother. But that's, I saw the final Chavo versus Chico, and I mean, there's gunshots, there's deaths, it's like Matrix
Rock
moves.
Rock
kills a guy. Like
I just figured like, you know, like I hate that, you know, death match is just used and just, you know, it's just thrown out there. I mean, like, why not really make it a death match and make sure that somebody actually...
Why not straight up murder somebody, right?
Yeah,
well, there's a literal death match in Talking Shop of Mania 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
If someone's sitting down to watch this with a friend who's not a wrestling fan or their girlfriend, how do you explain this to somebody?
This is a satire on everything... wrestlers and professional wrestling fans, all the fun stuff when you're growing up and you're calling your buddy and you're kind of figuring out that, like, hey, this isn't 100% legit good versus evil real combat. And when you look at it that way, enjoy the great stuff, but then there's also things where you go, come on. And I think that Talking Shop of Mania originally just came from that. And we have some really funny spoofs in my opinion in Talking Shop of Mania 2. Two great factions debuting. I mean, we've already let the lid off a retro poop shit.
Yeah, we did.
We have another legendary faction coming behind that with some of the biggest heavy hitters in the business. So, I mean, you guys got to watch out. This creative juices are flowing here, and I don't know how good or bad it is. It might just be totally bad, but
we're losing the LG a little bit.
Well, he's driving around in his Escalade.
He's in his Escalade. That's what he likes to talk about. His Escalade doesn't have Wi-Fi.
I like you the get Wi-Fi in that drinking Escalade. Wine during this.
That's right.
This is great.
Sadly, guys, it's not wine. I'm kind of on a little bit of drinking probation. Having myself some Diet Coke.
Look, I don't want to get into it, but I hope everything's okay in your world.
Everything's beautiful, baby. Everything's beautiful.
It's a Diet Coke in a wine glass.
It's Diet Coke in a wine glass with a little bit of kayfabe juice in there. We'll keep it that way.
Well, anyway,
guys, Impact Wrestling, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Access TV. Let's just keep moving on the interview here. Great.
You know, right before we got on this call, I was thinking you guys might be the most successful bunch of people to leave this
idiots. Recent
No, but I think you're the most successful since this recent round of layoffs. So you guys are crushing it with the pay-per-view, the podcast, the clothing, the alcohol, literally everything. You guys have so many things going on.
Yeah, it's, and you know, it's like we hit the ground running the second, you know, we were free. And then, you know, we got started with Impact.
Well, we're too dumb to quit, Chris.
Yeah. we started talking shop right out the gate. Just got a lot of stuff going on. I think we got to stay busy, you know, and it's especially with what's going on right now. And it's been a lot of fun. That's like the main thing, that when the three of us get together and get to create and do what we do, it's been, that's, we're having fun, and that's all we ever wanted to do.
But is this a product of the strange time that we're in here in 2020 with COVID? Because, you know, maybe you would have got released and then just went and worked a bunch of indies and, you know, made some decent money. But because that wasn't really an option, did you go, well, now we need to do some other things from here?
Well, yeah, definitely. But we're not really allowed to go do that. We can do appearances and stuff like that. But we wanted to grow the brand. It's great to go make that cash and stash it away and all that stuff. But we were thinking about the brand and the long haul and where we go with this podcast and what these pay-per-view things can be. And we got three different kinds of alcohol coming out now, just all these projects. So it felt like it was probably more important to go that way. But I think the pandemic definitely afforded us an opportunity where we might not have had, for people were sitting around with nothing to do and they needed a laugh. So here comes Talking Shopomania, and thankfully they laughed, and hopefully they laugh harder at Talking Shopomania too. But pandemic definitely had a lot to do with that.
Well, I also think that, like, on top of that, it's like we had to be creative about it, right? You know, not being able to do the norm of just, you know, like doing indies or whatever. Like, and I'm speaking for more for these guys than anything. We just had to like focus, like. Also, we're thinking about, here's the opportunity to really go all in on this product while people are watching, and you know, being the, you know, these guys being let go really put, you know, a focus on these guys to see, like, what are they going to do next, right? People were actually interested and invested in, like, what they were going to do next. So thankfully, we just had the, you know, the podcast going like 4 weeks before this. We had restarted it. So it just gave us, you know, the opportunity to really, like, go all in. And then not only do that, but like invest for, like Gallo said, like for the future, for the long term, is like, what can we could make this, you know, this Talking Shop brand into something that, you know, could transcend just professional wrestling maybe, and, you know, enter into like other worlds, you know, like whether it's comedy or like, you know, mainstream or sports, you know, whatever. I think that the Talking Shop brand could be a lot bigger than just the three of us, I think.
You have one of the biggest podcasts on the wrestling charts right now, and you guys are only, what, 6 months into podcasting?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know that if it's so crazy, because I still don't believe, you know, I don't know anything, but I still don't believe we would have left WWE if it wasn't for the COVID pandemic and that. So
right.
So I don't know which trajectory our careers would have taken if we would have been released and there was no pandemic and we could go wherever we wanted to go. I don't know. But I think being released in the era that is COVID and that was this crazy pandemic gave us a chance to be able to create like this, because this is our kind of shit. This is the stuff that we want to do now, to be able to do Talking Shop. Yeah, this is what we love, to be able to do Talking Shop Mania 1, which ended up being something that we really enjoyed creating, and then being able to throw everything into part 2 and have even like more fun creatively creating this thing. Like, this might not have ever happened if there was no pandemic.
Right.
For sure. I mean, it's a huge gamble too. I mean, like, it literally is a, like, we're like, all joking aside, when we talk about being in the red and all, I mean, it's the truth, but like, like it's really like just a huge gamble on ourselves to, like, really, you know, try to grow this brand into something else. And that's what I hope people appreciate too. Cause like, we're not being funded by any major company. Yes, we both work for, you know, both sides work for major companies, but we don't really have, you know, we have no financial support from either one. And it's just really like all of, you know, the three of us pooling everything together, our friends, resources, everything, to try to really do something creative and completely out of the box and different that I hope that wrestling fans and will just really enjoy.
Impact Wrestling's been really good about getting behind the Talking Shop brand. Like, they're all in on this, like you guys are.
Impact, we can't say that enough. And anytime we get to speak publicly about any of this, I like to take a moment and just kind of put those guys over, put over Scott D'Amore, Don Callis, and everybody over at Impact, because they completely embraced us the same way that I think we completely embraced them. And they've been nothing but helpful on that end. And I mean, you'll see, well, I think this thing will drop after tonight's episode, but you'll see, you know, leading up to Talking Shop-a-Mania 2, you know, there'll be a commercial in there for Talking Shop-a-Mania, and there'll be stuff like that on their television show. And I think that speaks volumes for them and how they get behind and support their talent and the outside projects that we're working on and all kinds of stuff like that. And it's funny talking about the pandemic, because like even thinking ahead of Talking Shop-a-Mania 2, we have to figure out, all right, as hopefully this thing peels back a little bit and things start to open up a little bit, how do we move next? I mean, we're going to Baltimore on November the 22nd for the first ever Talking Shop Live with a socially distanced crowd and environment. And we're going to be doing a live podcast with, you know, all the characters, Sex and Too Bad and Chico El Luchador and some other familiar faces there. But that's our first time doing something like that. You know, we're wrestlers. And now we're walking into this kind of new universe for us. So it's been really fun trying some of that. The Full Keg special on Access TV, the Talking Shop special was a success, and it had a lot of good social media engagement. People seem to really enjoy that. So you're watching us in front of your eyes kind of throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. So I'm just glad everybody's along for the ride and they keep watching it and checking it out.
Well, you're not just wrestlers now. You and so many other people have become entrepreneurs. And that's like a big shift in what we're seeing that's happening all across the board in wrestling right now.
100%. Yeah. And like you said earlier, I think that just the timing of this, it worked out really good for us to be able to come out of the gate and do that and create some content and then hopefully do some business along with it.
Like you said, Chris, you know, Impact has been really great about pushing the product and pushing the brand, where like we've seen, you know, other companies kind of go the other route, you know, and really kind of pigeonholed the talent in trying to do extracurricular stuff and when they're trying to grow their own personal brand. So I think it's been a blessing to have Impact in the corner. And they've been even so supportive of New Japan as well. And me working for New Japan Pro Wrestling, it hasn't been any issue or anything. They've been extremely supportive, even in plugging New Japan during, you know, the Talking Shop Full Keg special. So they've been great, you know, shout out to Impact.
I mean, New Japan is one of the first wrestling companies to be able to come back with a crowd. Granted, it's not here in North America, but that's exciting as a fan to see that there's actually fans in the seats enjoying the product that we used to enjoy 7 months ago.
Right. I feel like it's been awesome. You know, I feel like it's the kind of the light at the end of the tunnel for like wrestling fans to be like, look, they're doing it. Look, like one day this is going to be, we're all going to be back
one day.
Yeah. It might all be over one day and we might be back to the arenas and, you know, enjoying how we, you know, wrestling in the way that we did for so long, you know?
Right.
That's why we're getting excited about Jimmy's Seafood on November 22nd, though, because if you've ever seen us in like a live interview setting or whatever, like if you know us, we don't have much of a filter anyway. So it's like this, the stuff we say, it's just, we're just having fun. And I can't wait to be in front of, like, those are our people, our fans that are there to support us and support the podcast and are literally there just get to have a good time. And like, we're going to be laughing. And I mean, it's going to be fucking so much fun. And it's just to be able to engage a crowd again and engage our fans and just get a reaction and just see people laughing and smiling and farting, whatever they want to do. Just having
well, fun. And let's talk about the fact that we're going to get to see our own BBD in action. Our editor, our podcast editor, Emilio Sparks, who's a single man in New York City, who's just losing his mind right now. And we're having a contest to see who can become his Tinder date, you know?
Hashtag
man,
what?
Woman, farm animal, you know.
Falls deep in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Falls deep Billy.
Falls deep Billy, guys. So we got a big opportunity. Rock, how do they get tickets to Talking Shop Live Baltimore at Jimmy's Seafood on November 22nd, 6 p.m. before that other pay-per-view we might watch with you?
animals.
You are the master of plugging things. Wow. I love it.
Just go to PayPal, put in the notes, talking shop Baltimore, TNS Baltimore, hashtag TNS Baltimore, and tickets are $100. First row is $125. And just drop us a line, and we're creating a list and working it all out, and just bring your IDs at the door and you'll be ready to go.
I think I'm going to come. I think I'm going to fly there and join you guys.
Yes, well, please. Really? That'd be great.
Should.
Well, let's talk.
What else do you have to do?
Let's talk about
it. Come on. That. Let's do that.
Let's talk about it off the air. Let's get this thing going.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. There. Done.
Yeah. Have you been there yet?
Have I been to Baltimore?
Have you been to Jimmy's?
I've not been to Jimmy's.
Great. No,
you have to go to Jimmy's, dude. Brother.
I do love me some seafood. And not that's in the Falls Deep Billy kind of way.
That's, the boy. I'm excited to see Balls Deep Billy with his date, though, man, woman, or what'd you say, for farm animal?
A farm animal. It's open. Have it's a little goat sitting there. Whatever you need. Bye. Sure. We don't even have parameters on this contest. Just reach out via social or one of our emails and tell us why you should be the winner, you or your pet, whoever.
Well, we're not getting many requests, though, are we?
Well, I think we're going to have to I think what we're going to have to do is publish BDB's Tinder profile publicly. That's going to have to be what happens next. Yeah.
We're just going to have to pick the fan that can sit with balls deep because.
Right.
Well, you get free admission, you get a free dinner on the house, and you get to be part of the show. A
couple drinks keys here and there. Yeah.
Who knows what happens for you there?
Who knows?
But TNSmania.com, all of our stuff, the website is new. It's getting updated. You can look for the links to buy the alcohol on there, all the merchandise, and we're going to be adding event pages soon with all this stuff that we have coming up. But if you haven't pre-ordered Talking Chop Mania 2, you can do so over at Fight TV, so please do so. And let us know what you think, too. We love the feedback last time, so good, bad, or indifferent. We're listening, all ears.
Even though sports may have taken a little bit of a break in 2020, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. And right now, Indeed is offering listeners of our show a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. And the wait is over, my friends. We finally have football again. Now, you may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure that you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off by wagering on wins, division, and championship futures. You can do it all day, every day. So head to Bet Online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
You know, you guys have created something different. This isn't just a podcast. What you guys have created here is this is a morning radio show that happens to be on a podcast because I was a guest. I was so fortunate and so grateful to be invited to be part of your show. But it's just kind of like you just hang out for an hour and then like with 5 minutes to go, Amelia's like, okay, guys, wrap it up. And you're like, oh, all right, well, we'll stop talking now.
basically. You that's put a mic in front of these guys, man. They won't stop talking about it.
Yeah, we don't really shut up. Unless we get frozen like Gallows.
Doc
is
has
right
this
now.
Like he has that Georgia internet working there.
There's he looks that so look. Peaceful right now, doesn't he?
there was a time we were recording the podcast and I said something that I said should have been filtered, and Rock's face got stuck with this weird look, like he was looking at me mad. I was like, damn, he's mad as fuck, dude. And then I realized that he just got in this pandemic, we're all doing stuff via the internet, and so like you never know where our Wi-Fi's are gonna be. Like I've missed a couple of podcasts because my Wi-Fi's gone shit, so I missed getting to do it with Eric Bischoff and all the big names. They don't have me ever, so that's probably why it's successful.
You got to get that fiber internet. That's what you need.
Fuck, you know how it is with Wi-Fi, brother. Everybody's at home working nowadays too. Like everything is so fucking weird now, man. That's why Talking Shop Commanding. That's why Talking Shop One did so damn well.
Because it was so weird.
Look at the frozen face we've got on the big LG.
Yeah, there he is.
Looking so happy.
Looks so happy. So
just gleeful. A frozen brother. That's like when we lost him. So those are the faces he looked like when he would tell me that when he used to look at me in Japan and tell me we need to get Botox. And I would say, I'm not getting Botox, brother. And he would tell me, yes, you need to get it. I'm not getting Botox. We're gonna show up at the Tokyo Dome with our faces fucking frozen.
I think we should all get Botox. I think we need it right now.
Well, the thing about wrestling is, you know, you got to give good face. I mean, you guys, of course, know that.
Right.
You can't give good expressions when your face is frozen.
That's true. I got to get rid of some of these wrinkles, though, man. I mean, look at this. Come on, this Talking Shop has given me so much stress. I'm getting more.
You
got to
talk.
Oh, Doc is joining us.
He's
again.
Back.
Yes. Hold on. Well, he's trying to join back again.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, okay. Yep. We just need him to. Need him to turn that camera on there.
We need him to get to that McDonald's parking lot. That's where the Wi-Fi is the best.
Oh, yeah. He's got to get to the McDonald's parking lot.
He's in the middle of the sticks, right?
He is.
Yes.
He's picking up his kid, and then he's got like 1,000 interviews he's doing. And he's got 100 phone calls on all day long. He works all day.
I appreciate that he made time for this.
Chris, one day we got to get you out to the palatial estate where we can really do Talking Shop.
Done.
That would be the ultimate.
You guys are inspiring. I mean, I've had my YouTube channel for many years, but I've really only been all in on it maybe two and a half.
Yeah.
The podcast a year and a half. But what you guys have built just in the last 7 months it's really inspiring to me.
Well,
I'm back.
Fuck.
He's back.
That's very nice of you, Chris.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
We need to get you out to Atlanta. We do need to get you to Atlanta and so you can like see that and feel that.
LA was the nice version of
LA felt I'm not even joking. LA felt like we were on a movie set. I'm serious.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it was different because there was good workers there. There was like some, you know, famous guys. Like there was some famous people at Gallows's palatial estate
Gallows said he's back. It looks like he's back, but we can't see him. He'll figure this out.
So part of the storyline is that Gallows got so rich from part one that he's CGI'd and he's not even there to do it with us. So we have CGI Gallows on commentary with us the whole time, and it's pretty funny. And he talks in a stupid accent like he's a genie, and it's fucking so stupid.
I really wanted to ask Gallows about the Impact Wrestling debut. He got so excited that he slipped on the ramp.
Yes. Well, I got to the back and I was pumped up thinking we just fucking changed the whole game, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just moonwalking back, ready for everybody to put me over, put it all over. I come back and Brian Myers is there. Hawkins. He just goes, ah, ha, 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 ha. I said, what? He said, what do you mean? What? You didn't see Drew slip? And I went, oh, come on. And so I didn't even realize he did it, but Gallows turned it into what it is. It's the no hand crotch chop. Cause he just did a little brother bump.
I feel like if the crowd was there, that wouldn't have happened. I feel like his focus would have been elsewhere. I don't know.
I don't know. It was like, he really is in the shoes and what kind of shoes he wears on debuts and looking cool. And I always try to tell him that nobody looks at your shoes when you're debuting. So he wore cowboy boots and they couldn't. I mean, they might look at your
shoes.
I just don't think you should wear. I mean, I debuted in WWE and at Impact, both with not, I'm not telling you, not very expensive shoes. Like just shoes that I knew that I wasn't going to fucking slip in. So if you want to go back and look at some of those, like you can tell. I think the ones at WWE were like loafers, man. Or I think something weird I knew I could run in.
Wrestlers put a lot of focus on their gear. Like gear is so.
Oh,
the ghost.
Oh, I just dropped off again.
Hey. We don't need that son of a gun.
Wrestlers put so much focus on gear that I think that like fans don't definitely don't notice as much as wrestlers and fellow wrestlers notice.
For sure. Now, like if you show up with ripped shoes or something, I mean, I can see it, but I mean, I'm trying to think of what, if anybody wants to go back and watch our Impact debut, I'm pretty certain I didn't wear really expensive shoes, maybe some old brother Nikes, maybe something. I'm telling you, they weren't very pretty.
I think the culture now though is so shoe like heavy and shoe or like they look at like what kind of shoes you're wearing. You know, if you're wearing Jordans, if you're wearing cowboy boots. I mean, because it's so a part of the appeal. Like, think about Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know that he wore those black high tech boots, you know, or whatever they were called, and sure. You know, like that was. I mean, obviously he wore it every week, but. I don't know. I think I think people are.
I don't think Gallows needed to wear cowboy boots on a slippery ramp. That's what I'm trying to get at.
He should have tested it out for sure.
He should have tested it out.
Or he learned his lesson, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, I think he actually did because a couple of we've recorded Impact
now. Rock. High techs.
There we go.
Oh, we can hear him, but we just can't see him.
Guys.
Oh, there we go. Back.
Hey, so here's the thing. If these guys didn't get their oil all over the ramp, it never would have happened.
Oh. Who are we blaming this on? Who had too much baby oil?
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's me, it's okay. But if somebody's going to do a big dive at the bottom of the ramp with a bunch of oil on, which I'm not going to do, you're going to screw things up for everyone else. But I retired the cowboy boots on wrestling television for now.
But because, like you said, though, Gallows, like what did you create, though? It wasn't actually a slip. It was the...
It was the no-hand crotch.
It was the no-hand crotch chop. Yeah, he just...
No-hand crotch chop. No-hand crotch chop, yeah.
Gallows, what city are you in that has this terrible internet connection?
Guys, I live an hour outside of Atlanta in a beautiful suburb. I have to live out in the country so that these Talking Chopper Mania fans aren't beating my doors down in the city. You know?
Understandable.
Big problem.
I think you need to, you know, find yourself a better internet provider, though.
There's one out here. It's AT&T. I'll go on the record to say it's been horrible. I've been on the phone with them for 2 months about how to upgrade it. They want you to sign a petition to get the number up higher on your street. It's really out of control. I wish they'd do better, but they won't. They're trying to rob the public. So
they will never be a sponsor now.
I don't want them. They're messing up my life.
For someone who's listening to this and wants to become a good brother, what does it take to be a good brother?
Well, we started saying good brother because it was like, you know, just our term, wrestling term for like, is that a good guy or not? Is that a guy you like to hang out with? Is that a guy you like to have a beer with? Is he a good brother or not? And that's kind of where good brother came from. But if you want to show that you're a good brother, remember collarandelbowbrand.com. Get the new Good Brother sweatpants, new Good Brother hats, new Good Brother jackets, a Talking Shop of Mania t-shirt, all those things, guys. Come on now.
Hey, we do have Good Brother sweatpants and Good Brother pants. And like I wore those home from the tapings, like just because. And it's just look at that. Hey, there it is.
Very nice.
Never put it past us to wear our own shit.
Oh, like, yeah. That's an old wrestler adage. Like, you don't wear your own stuff because you're a mark for yourself. I'm like, you should wear it every day. Get more people to wear it.
That's the best way to get people to wear it, for
100%.
Sure.
100%. I would say a good brother, though, for sure, is just someone you know you can trust. You know, you can you get yourself in a fucking something, whatever. You need to call somebody. You know, you can call on that guy. You can call on that brother that can honestly be there for you. And like, then you can know, and you can just tell, does that guy seem like a good brother? I mean, he seems like one. Let's fucking give him a chance or whatever, you know?
I think that Chris Jericho is now saying good brother a lot.
He's our good brother, hands down.
Absolutely.
It's okay if Chris Jericho's saying he obviously got this from you guys.
Well, Chris Jericho can say whatever. He's the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
I deemed this term 10 years ago, and it just became wrestling lingo now, which I love. So it's a good thing. We want everybody to say good brother.
Yeah, good brother. We got three good brothers here right now. It's great.
We got four good brothers. And a fifth one with our PR guy to make sure we're not saying something dumb.
He's on here making sure. Are the North good brothers?
Yes.
They delivered quite the slap to Gallo's face. Ethan Page, a good friend of mine.
Oh, but, man.
But if you watched last week's episode of Impact on Access TV, you saw the comeuppance. Just like I predicted. So, and if he wants, I'll slap the taste out of his mouth again. No problem.
Wow. Mm. Oof. Mm. It got heavy in here.
This got heavy quick. Sorry, with the non-kayfabe answer.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah. I like those guys.
Fuck them, man. The North suck.
The North suck and Canada sucks.
Yeah, North sucks.
There you go.
I think I like that Ethan Page. I think he's a hell of a talent. I like the way he makes his YouTube videos too.
Yes, I think they're two very talented brothers that are finally getting. I hope they can get a chance to be seen by a lot of people.
Have you guys always had this entrepreneurial tendency? Like even before you were wrestlers, were you shoveling people's driveways, cutting people's lawn? Obviously that's a thing you do in Canada. But did you have this, you know, like mentality, or did you just getting released from WWE go, all right, we're going to start to make this thing a thing?
Gallows taught me a lot in that front. Cause he was always hustling this and that. When he'd left WWE before, he left TNA before. He came to New Japan with a different mindset that I think put a lot of us in that same mindset. Me and Rocky always talked about starting a business together and just always thought about starting a beer. We always wanted to start a podcast. Well, once the podcast got hot, then we did. Like me and Rocky's first podcast, Talking Chop first podcast ever, was just me and Rock, because we just thought it would be just something that we
knew. Gallows was our guest.
Yeah, he was our first guest. Yeah.
I was the guest that never left, guys.
Yeah, he was the guest that I didn't know how. I knew he was a good dude and you know, somewhat funny, but I didn't know he could make me laugh that hard, because not many people can. And then like when I started seeing he came on Talk of Chop and never left, ended up just taking it over. You know? Well, he ended up wanting to turn it into, exactly. Well, you'll see what the name of Talk of Chop Mania 2 is. There's a reason why the Torturer is so famous in our world. Because the torturer is built on a legit story. Like Gallows was in a bad mood, didn't want to come do the podcast. I say, can you please do the podcast? He comes and sits down and goes, all right, well, let's start. And I was like, oh God, here's great. You know, like this, the three of us are sitting in there, and I go, well, do you not want to do the podcast? And this is live now. And he goes, no, we're not live, but you know, we're recording it. And he goes, no, I don't want to do this podcast. I'm leaving this stupid podcast and I'm starting my own. And I said, oh yeah, what's it called? He goes, well, it's called Cock Torturers. And I said, what? So what are you going to do? And then he explained this whole entire thing. And by the time he's done explaining what his stupid podcast was, we were fucking falling over laughing. And like, that's how we started all this.
Look at you now.
Hey, look at us now. The rise of the cock torturer, or the rise of the torturer.
I can't believe we're putting that on worldwide pay-per-view. It's unbelievable.
The whole concept is going to get linked to one of these.
Yeah, but I think we always had entrepreneur thoughts. You know, that's all we ever really wanted to do. And I think when we went to WWE, you're just kind of in there, and that's the machine that is. They tell you what to do, you go. They tell you where to go, you go. And so we kind of lost a little bit of our sense there. And then now that we left, we knew we had to start hustling again. And then a pandemic hits, and then we get to create Talking Chop of Manias, and it's almost like it was all meant to be.
Right. I feel like there should be like, how many Talking Chop-a-manias a year could there be?
80s, 90s, 200, who knows? Wow. I just know that it's a lot more fun and rewarding to not be a spoke in the wheel and be the entire wheel. And we're experiencing that. And I think that we're enjoying the hell out of it and the creative expression, freedom, all that stuff, because I don't know if anybody's as weird as us in all of professional wrestling. And you'll see that come to fruition in Talking Shop of Mania too, because it's pretty out there. But, you know, I think if we were still spokes in the wheel, you may have never seen that with us. I mean, who knows? Maybe we would have retired at WWE or something, and all this ridiculously what I consider awesome content would never get created. So it's a blessing. It's a good thing.
No, the genius that is Talking Shop of Mania may never have been birthed if it was COVID.
I mean, yeah, think about 100%. I mean, the main event of Talking Shop of Mania 2 that we put out, that are putting out there, is is a ball versus ball match, and whoever, and it's Sex Ferguson versus Chad Too Bad. Ball for a ball. So it's whoever cuts the other person's ball sack off. Well, they win.
Well, they're the winner.
Well, so we were doing like, I guess, like, I don't. You can't hear him.
Oh, what's he saying?
Whatever it was. It was probably funny.
He's a robot.
But like here's a funny thing. Like, for example, like some of the best stuff we do, like with the Chico and Chavo and Sex versus Too Bad, we just our running commentary that we're doing, that just talking during the matches. I think a lot of the fans like that. Like, I mean, at one point I think I said, I'm going to rip your balls off and I'm going to take a big bite out of them. He said, don't you dare bite them. I mean, that's the kind of shit you're going to be here. You know?
Right. But that was my favorite part of Talking Shop of Mania 1 was the Boneyard match, and just the dialogue back and forth between, you know, Chad Too Bad and Sex Ferguson is my favorite part, because there's so many like quotable one-liners, like a Will Ferrell movie. It's like my favorite part, and a lot of fans after were just hitting each one liner and just putting Talking Shop of Mania, you know, like the hashtag, and then just laughing, you know, laughing so much.
That's
my
groceries.
Favorite part. Yeah, that's my favorite part. So
Gallows is home now.
Great. Wi-Fi is about to kick up now.
Hey, home, guys. Welcome. Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Door slamming.
Oh, we can finally see him.
Yes. Hey, here we are. Should I keep the sunglasses on in my own home? Maybe.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, cool. Live together. Yeah.
Do whatever you want, brother.
Who is the dream opponent, dream guest for a future Talking Shop of Mania?
Oh, I think we have to go big or go home. I mean, we want Stone Cold, The Rock, yes. Goldberg, all of them, you know, whoever we can get.
I cannot wait until like the three of us can fly back to Tokyo again and like sit in the Tokyo Dome Hotel and just have our podcasting together and like have a couple drinks and just bullshit. And that's like the foundation of what we did. And with us, we don't care who's on it at that point. If we can just get to Tokyo, and if say Chris Jericho's there, I think that'd be great to have a drunken talk with Chris there, or just with something. I think our biggest, funnest setting would be able to get back to Japan and do a couple live ones.
But I think, like, for Talking Shop of Mania, imagine someone like a Stone Cold Steve Austin in Talking Shop of Mania.
Well, like, you got to realize, too, like, the Talking Shop of Mania, the first one, there's a lot of guys that are, like, our buddies, our generation, you know, that we've known for a long time, like the Brian Myers and the Heats and the guys like that. And they're all in. And they've sat in hotel rooms with us when we're getting beer drunk and listen to the dumb things we say. But imagine a guy who's, like, you know, from the generation you grew up watching, who, like, you know, I've known Scott Steiner for years. I've worked with him. But imagine us explaining to Scott Steiner in my front yard at midnight that we're going to try to rip each other's nutsacks off and we need him to have a serious cameo during this match. And his response and what his face is. Part of the fun of all this is that kind of shit, because where else on earth would this ever take place other than in the Talking Shop of Mania universe?
I'll tell you that. One guy who just loved every second of it was Vincent. He loved every single second of it, and was so much where he was talking to himself off to the side going, oh, god damn, that shit's funny. This is my type of humor. Oh, he was talking to himself. He had a whole conversation with himself, and I was just watching him going, I guess this is good. I don't know.
You know, I will say he was one of those. He definitely popped when I said I was rip Gallows' balls off and drop an elbow on him or something like that. I remember Vincent just like thinking that was fucking hilarious. Well, we got an audience of one at least.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I can't imagine he's going to spend the $14.99 to buy it, though.
Well, he also should stepped on my nuts at one point. So, you know.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that was a spot, Chris.
I can't believe that I made it into the trailer. Like, that was mind-blowing to me.
That was important.
See myself in the trailer. So thank you.
That's great. Yeah, we needed
a good-looking brother in there for us. That's what you are. You're our face.
We need some eye candy, brother.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I haven't worn a suit since like maybe January.
Oh, yeah.
And in May, when the gym started to open back up again, I got really inspired by Will Ospreay because he's bulked up. He's put on so much size, right? Like, he used to be so skinny and now he's jacked.
Yeah, looks great.
He does. So I'm like, well, what did you do? And he gave me his meal plan. So I started bulking up as well. And I put on like 20 pounds of mass.
Oh, yeah.
In like, I don't know, 12 weeks. And then I went to put that suit on. And when I tried to button it up at the bottom, it barely fit.
And did you still have abs during this bulk, Chris?
Of course. No. No joke. When I started losing my abs, I'm like, bulk's over. That's it. I'm done.
So you quit.
And you know exactly what I'm talking about, Carl.
Trust me. It's a horrific constant battle.
As soon as I started getting a little smooth, I'm like, that's it. Yeah. No more.
Well, that's
you just
that
gotta
was the
live
problem.
A smooth life like I do. I hate guys with abs, man.
That's the problem. Sometimes when I see this, when the smoothness comes back in, I go, oh, fuck it. And so I forget. I just forget. I let it go for like 2 or 3 weeks or a month or whatever. And then, because it's really, you got to really dial it back in, you know.
But it's also interesting because if you get to the point where you're ripped with abs, you look kind of skinny with clothes on.
100%.
And you know, you guys work in a profession where you have your shirt off frequently. I don't. Maybe I should change that. Maybe I should just do these podcasts with no shirt on. But
listen, if George North can be a wrestler, you can too. So you know what? If you want to get booked, we'll train you.
I think those days might be behind.
You're just booked for a match, brother. Don't worry.
I don't know. I think I did train 17 years ago. I trained at the Squared Circle in Toronto. And then I got to a point where I was like, do I keep doing wrestling school or do I continue with school? Because I was in college at the time. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll get my education. I'll get my degree. Wrestling will always be there. And now I just kind of get to dip my toe into this world, which is great.
Well, it's like,
it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Nature Boy Paulie versus George North, right? And during the match, I look at Rocky and I go, I look at my partners and I go, hold on, is George North even trained to do this? And I think Gallows goes, yeah, I think so. And Gronk goes, I don't know. Because you got to be trained to be a wrestler. I never took that into consideration.
He might be. I don't know.
We didn't really check credentials, I guess, on the way in.
Yeah,
like,
we just booked him. You want to have a match?
Oh, sure. He looks funny. Put him on.
That's not the answer you want to hear.
You're booked.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh shit!
Yeah, maybe.
But right. There's a whole spectrum. Like Nature Boy Paulie versus George North is hilarious. Like Rory Fox, man. Like, dude, he's a star.
You know what I just thought of? There were actually three factions that debuted in Talking Shop Mania 2. Me being a faction man, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, three heavy hitting factions.
You talking about the main event?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The main event faction. Retro Poopsion, and then the one based around the North Lee match.
Retro Poopsion.
Retro Poopsion is a hell of a faction.
I guess they fart and stuff when they die. I don't know. I don't know if we explained that well. We just kind of.
I don't think we need to.
Sex is fighting him off, and he keeps making comments about the smell of shit, which I don't know.
I'm fascinated by Machine Gun's closet here, because are those jeans behind you on the shelf?
Yeah, they are.
Why don't you hang them up? Is that the better way to do it?
So
it's the Marie Kondo way.
This is a wife thing, man. She's a jean folder.
Okay.
If it was my place, jeans wouldn't be folded. They just would be thrown somewhere.
Right. So this hot Asian wife.
Yeah.
A jean pile. There you go.
Yeah, there'd be a Gene pile of if they're dirty or not. Who cares? Jeans can always be clean. Here they
Marie,
are.
Marie Kondo rolls right. them and then she puts them in a basket.
Really? See, there's different ways.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Look, what you guys have built over these last 6 months is nothing short of amazing. And I think just within the wrestling world, but beyond it, it's exciting to know that this is possible. And it's exciting to know for anybody that's listening to this, that has an interest in whatever it is, it's possible to go out and build this brand and build something for yourself.
You can have a pay-per-view and you can make it about anything you want and just get the connections with the pay-per-view companies somehow, some way. And then just say, well, I'm
cold
running
calls,
the show.
Boys, cold calls.
Yeah, and then just say you're running the show of some sort. And it was mildly successful.
The funny thing is when we started talking to the pay-per-view companies, I thought that they were just like, what? Like, what are you guys going to do? They had no idea. And then they were just so surprised, like, that they couldn't stop telling everybody about how successful we were. We're like, stop telling people that because then they're going to want more money.
Stop saying that we did good. You got to be quiet about that, guys.
Yeah, come on, guys. Take it easy. It was a failure.
Let's hope the buy rates for number two are that much more than number one.
We hope so. Yeah, I hope so because I want to bring you guys Talking Shop of Mania 3, and I hope there can be a live audience.
It's just that, like, if you're ready to sit and laugh, dude, like, and have a beer, drink some wine, smoke some CBD oil, whatever you do, just do it and, like, sit back at 10 o'clock. It starts at 10. We want it a little later start so you can be all brothered up. Just brother yourself up and enjoy it. Just enjoy it because I promise you're going to laugh, man. Like, the first match had me in tears, man, crying. Fucking crying. And I've already seen this and I know that I shouldn't be laughing that hard at it. So somebody has to smile.
Friday, November 13th on worldwide pay-per-view and Fight TV. It's talking.
Absolutely.
It's only $14.99 too. So it's not an expensive investment into having a night with your friends and watching and discussing it and tweeting about it. And hopefully I feel like if we can get this thing trending again, and get it on the board, I think it'll definitely help us to get together to try to bring Talking Shop of Mania 3. Hopefully will be the live version.
Gold.
Maybe Mania Weekend. Maybe.
I don't know about this live version stuff.
It's going to be great. And
let's
guys,
get Gallows out of here on time because he has another interview to promote.
Got another interview, brother.
Thing that is Talking Shop of Mania 2. And he's doing this one from the comfort of his home with Wi-Fi, unlike the interview that we just did here.
Of course. Chris, thanks for having us, man. Let's do Talking Shop always. Again, please.
Oh, absolutely, my gosh. Thank you guys so much. You've been so kind to me. And
we want to get you all Tito'd up again. That was kind of fun.
That was fun.
The next morning we'll do another one.
I got a lot more drunk than I expected to get.
Yeah, Uncle Tito will sneak up on you. Trust me.
He's not kind.
Sure. No.
Well, thank you so much, guys. And seriously, congrats on everything that you've built.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Thanks for having us, Chris. We'll definitely talk soon.
Thanks for having us, good brother.
Thank you for letting me be an honorary good brother.
Oh, no, you are. Always.
Thank you, guys.
See you, baby.
Appreciate you, Chris. Thanks, man.
Those guys, man. Those guys are awesome. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with us here. And of course, wherever you're listening to this, you can also listen to their podcast, Talkin' Shop. And I feel like this was just a little taste of what you'll expect to hear on the Talkin' Shop podcast if you've never checked it out before. Take a screenshot, tag us so we can share this. And I hope you share this with someone who needs a laugh today. And speaking of laughs, whether you're listening to this before or after Talking Shop of Mania 2 has aired, make sure to go check it out. Whether that's you ordering this right now and watching it as it airs on Friday night, or going back and checking it out and going, this is so ridiculously awesome! Because that's exactly what it is. And you know, the thing that really stands out for me after talking to these guys, and really after talking to any successful person, anyone who's had any sort of success in whatever line of work it is that they do, it's that they dream big. They don't limit themselves to what's possible. I love that these guys were like, yeah, let's do a pay-per-view. And we'll figure out the details later, but we're going to do a pay-per-view. And I think the whole idea of dreaming big is just a life-changing idea. Ralph Waldo Emerson says it best. We'll leave you with this quote. Do not go where the path may lead,
Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Go leave a trail in your own life. Be great. Be grateful. Have a great weekend, my friends. And we will see you next week. Also, Talking Shopomania 2. So good. So good.